Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. Happy Friday out there. It is the 18th of April, 2025. It's wet and miserable here in Dublin anyway, but chocolate is on the way and the Easter Bunny too. But most people do prefer to have lamb on the Sunday. So whichever stew you're choosing, we're at your service as ever. Tap out your thoughts on the WhatsApp. That's 087-032-3232. And you can email Oliver at rte.ie. Tadashchok. Yes, it is business as usual on this Good Friday morning, Ireland's unofficial 11th bank holiday, really, isn't it? Unofficial, because it's a sneaky day off, really. And I know the American companies, however, here don't let the staff shirk off on Good Friday. But a lot of the semi-states and the state bodies do tend to close. The national museums are totally closed today, which utterly befuddles tourists every single year. But at least they can go to the pub now in the afternoon. Those things have changed. Callan's Kicks has always gone ahead on a Good Friday every year. And I think it's quite nice to be working when the country's gone completely quiet. You know, getting stuff done ahead of everyone else. And there's, of course, plenty to talk about in the world for comedy purposes, because Mr. Trump, well, he doesn't take any time off at all. He really should take some holidays. Someone suggested, just for the sake of our nerves and our chakras. And Claire will have a sketch on that later on. Before the gathering. But satire is very much our topic of today, because a real treat for you, writer and director Jerry Stembridge. He is this week's visiting critic. Lesser spotted Jerry Stembridge, you don't hear him on air very often. Began his writing career, of course, with the legend that was Scrap Saturday in the early 1990s with Dermot Morgan, who you just heard having tributes paid to him on Morning Ireland for the 30th anniversary, Tedversary, I suppose you can call it now at this stage. And Jerry also starred in Scrap alongside Paulie Midlin. Owen Rowe was in there as well. Owen played PJ Mara, the late PJ Mara, famously, of course. And Dermot Morgan, though, he was an astonishing hottie long before the Father Ted stuff. And his impression became far more famous than the Taoiseach's own voice of the day. And I think we'll bring you back here. We'll take things handy for you this morning, because here he is when Albert Reynolds was circulating around, planning a bit of a heave on Charlie in the early night, plotting how to turn Bertie's head. And Charlie and PJ Mara have a little discussion about it.
I have my cohorts, my loyal following, especially young Lochinvar, that prince among thieves, Bertie. What preferment can Albert offer him that I would not?
Well, the environment, boss. He's offered him the environment.
Oh! I'm sorry, eh? An officer, especially the commanding officer, should never strike a man. It's just that I've been under a little pressure lately. Mara, you poor child. Come here. Sit on my knee. It's one thing to count the half-crowns at the back of the dance hall and deal with gutty showband managers. Quite another to deal with the economy of a nation.
But he ran a successful pet food business and he made a fortune. Albert's a self-made man like yourself, boss.
Self-made man? Yeah. A fortune, indeed. No mystery about making a fortune from grinding up knackered horses to keep Rover's coat shiny. The punters can see the trick. They can see what's up his sleeve. They can see how he made his fortune. They could never fathom how I made mine. That's why I have an air of mystery, charisma, enigma. I'll make pet food of Albert. New chopped finance minister gets the dogs barking. And now that he has them barking, he has no bite.
I would say Dermot Morgan's spirit would love that he's still being played on Radio 1 in 2025 on a Good Friday. Jerry Stembridge, of course, is coming in. He also went on to write films, plays and novels as well. And they had Charlie High in them, actually, one or two of them. And Ordinary Decent Criminal was the big film he wrote, starring Kevin Spacey. Remember that in the 90s? And then he directed Nora, which had Ewan McGregor and Andrew Scott in it, and About Adam. And they're both 25 years old this year, those films. Stuart Townsend was in About Adam, but he focused more on plays. But of course, he's a visiting critic, so they have to review something that you would they'd never usually do of their own free will. So he sent Jerry Stembridge to a sewing class. And the sewing workshop was on Dublin's Mary Street in a well-known fast fashion branded shop. We'll have more later on that. 51551. Now, we're looking ahead to an exciting weekend of sport. All 20 teams in the League of Ireland will be playing tonight at 7:45. There'll be people heading along in the rain. Rugby, of course, this weekend, the girls in green The Irish are playing Wales. That's in the Women's Six Nations on Sunday. It's at 3 o'clock live on RTE television. That's a big match for the girls there. All the provinces are playing at the URC, including Leinster versus Ulster. That's in the Aviva tomorrow night. But it's the GAA that everyone's getting excited about this weekend, because two big matches in the Connacht and Ulster Championship. Galway are playing their old enemies Roscommon in the Connacht Football Championship, and it's the semi-final already. It's at home to Roscommon on Sunday. And of course, Monaghan, the Farnie Army, will be playing Donegal, the fancied team for the championship this year, the most hotly tipped to win the All-Ireland in the Ulster Championship quarterfinals, the real dogged match. That's at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Easter Sunday, in Clonus. Ah, yes, it's going to be good. The weekend of hurling as well cranks up a notch, because the big guns are in action. Kilkenny play Galway in the Leinster Championship. That's tomorrow. And in the Munster Championship, where anything could happen, it's Clare versus Cork on Sunday. Tipper playing Limerick. That's the round robin system, of course. There'll be no knockout or anything like that. Liverpool fans also watching out. It is mathematically possible for Liverpool to win the Premier League title on Sunday, because they're very, very close. Arsenal, if they lose away to Ipswich Town and Liverpool win a few hours later at Leicester City, then their points difference would be unassailable with five games left. But it's unlikely Arsenal would lose to Ipswich Town. But there you go. It's more likely that it'll be the 27th, the week after, that Liverpool will finally win, that beat Spurs. But watch out for that. Although the Man United people are very happy this morning after all the excitement of the Europa League last night, and I'm seeing headlines going, the whole season either going to end in utter embarrassment or great glory. With rain and goals it was, but they took it out from actually reading about the GAA and Donegal. Monaghan is the match of the weekend. The Irish News, Mark O'Shea writes in the Irish News, Donegal are flying, but a bogey team is looming. And he believes in bogey teams, he says, and he thinks it could possibly be Monaghan. Monaghan always come across as a tight unit, seems to thrive and been written off. 2 years ago, this team were in an All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin, we were, and pushed them to the pin of the collar. And then Brian Fenton, of course, ruined everything by just going up a notch. But Donegal look very strong, he says. McGuinness says the player is eating out of the palm of his hand, and he is narrowly tipping Donegal, but also leaving the door open. That could be a bit of a bogey team. Kieran Murphy in the Irish Times, the headline there is basically Monaghan and Roscommon fighting the good fight. The presumption is that gravity will eventually have its way with counties like the Rossies and ourselves. They're football mad, but they're two of the least populous counties in Ireland. And this is what they're fighting against, Donegal and Galway, probably the two of the best three teams in the country. Does it mean Dublin or Kerry in there? But they also really dislike playing Monaghan and Roscommon. So there we go. And he points out that Jim McGuinness, Donegal under Jim McGuinness, Monaghan's the only team to actually have defeated them in the Ulster Championship. And Roscommon love bringing Galway down a peg or two. So good luck to the underdogs this weekend. If you're going to the cinema, it's good weather for the cinema, thankfully at last. There is a crazy sounding, brilliant movie of the week. It's getting 5-star reviews around the place. It's called Sinners. And one headline is Mobsters Meets Vampires in 1930s Mississippi. This sounds like just the crack. Michael B. Jordan, this is the Irish Independent. Review: Michael B. Jordan masters a dual lead in 5-star gangster yarn that mixes vampires and the Delta Blues. Dual lead because he plays two characters in it. The star of Creed movies, all those boxing things. And the Irish Times says, the best film of 2025 so far, right down to the Celtic vampires singing Rocky Road to Dublin while dancing an Irish jig. It sounds really nuts. The Financial Times, going further afield, I think because of the Irish link, maybe we're being biased. What does $2.2 billion buy you in what's left of Hollywood? The answer is Sinners, a new firework display of a movie from Ryan Coogler. The $1 billion are referenced to the blockbusters with Marvel, Black Panther and Wakanda Forever. And now it's allowed the director, basically he's made so much money, they let him do whatever he wanted. And his crazy idea was a period gangster and vampire film with musical flourishes, which is Irish trad, and heavy messaging because it's set in the American South of the 1930s. Genres collide as fangs find necks. It's Jim Crow Mississippi filled with clan robes and cotton fields, but it's also just one part of a heady fable of past and future. I'm going to see that at some point. Out in cinemas everywhere this weekend. It's just over 2 hours long and it is rated 16 because there's blood and stuff flying around the place. Now, jumping back to the great writers, and we're into our serious literary season here because reading, finishing off Sean Hewitt's Open Heaven and another book to tell you about next week. They're coming into us next week. Two really, really good debut novelists from young Irish male writers. And I see writers in the papers today because of a campaign against the Facebook group of companies known as Meta and their alleged use of pirated books to train their AI. Cecilia Hearn, Derek Landy and Sinead Mariarty are among 1,500 authors who've petitioned the government over the Meta's use of AI and using their books, essentially, to train their AI models. A delegation for the Irish Writers' Union delivered the document signed by those 1,500 writers to the offices of the Minister with responsibility for artificial intelligence. That's Niamh Smith, in case you didn't know. The writers claim the social media giant has made unauthorised use of its members' copyrighted creations to train their robots, the AI models, basically. One of them had placards. One placard said, Grand Theft Author, which is very good. You would expect good ideas, wouldn't you, from the writers. A spokesman for the Mark Zuckerberg's company said, we respect third-party intellectual property rights and believe our use of information to train AI models is consistent with existing law. Of course, existing law may well be the issue because there's very little regulation in this area. And there is the fear among the authors and the arts that the state might value writers more than US tech giants, particularly given the climate that we're in at the minute. Basically, you can sum up Mr. Trump's week, by the way. And there's a Guardian op-ed this morning, which is that he's taken on three kind of big giants that will not bend the knee to him. And he's kind of astonished about it. And it is basically the US Supreme Court, which, of course, is ordering them to send that innocent El Salvador man back to face due process and contest his deportation orders. He's ignoring the Supreme Court so far. We'll see what they do. China, of course, in the trade war, very powerful. And Xi Jinping is travelling all around Southeast Asia to try and break the US kind of alliances there and say, come work with us. He did this in the last term, by the way, the Chinese, and they have an economic kind of treaty set up with South Korea and Japan. So he kind of rips things up, but he drives his foes closer together, his trade foes. And the third one is Harvard University, who are refusing to bend the knee. And I would add a fourth one to that reality, which, of course, you saw in the stock markets and so on. But J.D. Vance is probably the most influential vice president we've had since Dick Cheney. Back in the George W. days. He is heading to Italy. The Italian PM was across in Washington last night fighting on behalf of the EU. How quickly the far-right leader has been seen as a saviour of Europe. Good Lord, things change very quickly, don't they? And so J.D. Vance is going to Italy, and there is speculation he might be meeting the Pope this weekend. He invoked a Catholic concept to defend the Trump administration's migrant crackdowns, but Pope Francis responded with a rebuke, and Vance apologised, called himself a baby Catholic, still learning things because he converted to Catholicism in 2019, and he is a real diehard. He's opposed to divorce and would like to ban divorce, even though his boss is twice divorced. Still unannounced is whether Vance will meet the Pope, says the Washington Post. And Vatican insiders say the Holy See will seek to engage Vance in a cordial fashion because he's a relatively new Catholic, and they would like to spread that message around the countries, particularly in Asia, where they're trying to whip it up. But should no meeting materialise, it'll be hard to blame the Pope's health. He met briefly with Britain's King Charles and Queen Camilla, and he visited a prison on Thursday, even though he's been ordered by doctors to rest after a series of, like, he was at death's door, wasn't he, with double pneumonia and so on. But the same Pope is also, but this is kind of the Russian Post saying that J.D. Vance and the Pope would get along nicely because they've called, the Pope has called gender theory tantamount to nuclear weapons, criticised Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for their abortion rights stance, and has called for a universal ban on surrogacy everywhere. So they might get along nicely with a cup on tea. His health is not the best, and there's a picture of him at the prison where he traditionally goes since Il Papa Francesco became the Pope, and he usually goes to a nearby, a very overcrowded prison in Rome and washes the feet of prisoners to mark Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday. But he visited the inmates on a wheelchair, and all he could do was go there and wave at them through the glass. He's 88 years of age, and he was greeted with applause from guards and staff as he was pushing a wheelchair through the prison, notorious for being overcrowded. And he just basically, he apologised to inmates for not being physically able to wash their feet as he's done on previous occasions. He has been told to rest, but he's not doing it. He's not doing it, but he's toweled so far. Oh, there's some nice messages coming in from Scrap Saturday. We'll come to those. Don't you worry. It is heading now into wedding season. And one of our favourite people on this show, William Hansen, who's a he's an etiquette specialist in a very, very British way. He has all of these various tips and all of these kind of moments of etiquette arise around weddings. People have to be on the best behaviour. And he's basically saying, my best, there's a couple of different conundrums here, and he addresses one. One is, my friend picks someone else as his best man. Can I refuse to attend? William Hansen says, well, if he previously said, you're definitely going to be my best man, and then withdrew it, you have to respect that. Just go and enjoy the wedding. You'll have fewer responsibilities. You'll have a better time. You should look more closely at the friendship. There might be perfectly legitimate reasons for their choice if you haven't been his supportive or present in his life as the person he picked. So that's the way he says, look up. Someone says, I always end up at the table with the absolute duds. Would it be wrong to change the seating plan? Yes. The cardinal rule at a wedding is simply do not touch the wedding plan. Says it's a big no-no. Now we're getting into, oh, this is into territory. So if a friend got married already, didn't invite anyone from home, they maybe got married abroad or did a kind of a private family thing, and now they're having a big reception, which is kind of like a possibly adjacent wedding. Is it really the wedding? This one is tricky, says William Hansen. Perhaps your friend, basically the question is, do you go along with it or do you go, look, it's not really a wedding? It says, perhaps your friend wanted to save you expense of flying people over. But if you're treating the reception as an actual second wedding, that's a bit over the top. It's more appropriate to do a nice dinner or a drinks reception. But either way, if you're going to spend the whole time sniping about it, then don't go to the kind of farcical second wedding bit, basically. My friend's wedding is in 2 days. Is it bad if I rewear the same dress I wore for the other friend's wedding that everybody was, the same people were at? Not at all, says William. You can always add a different accessory, like a belt. It'd be ridiculous to buy a new dress for every wedding. It is simply not sustainable. Get over yourself. Nobody else will remember and move on. And this is another conundrum. My best friend is having a hen abroad and it's extortionate. I can't afford it. Is it rude or selfish if I suggest someone more affordable? No, it is not, but handle it with care. If the bride has her heart set on going to Prague, but everyone would rather go to somewhere more local, don't gang up on her. You can only speak for yourself. Say, gosh, it would be so lovely, but funds are tight at the moment and I can't manage it. I'd love to just take you out for dinner instead. And she'll probably bail if everybody says that quietly and sheepishly. But you wouldn't say gosh over here. You'd be saying, here, this is too dear. I'm not going to it. All right, bring out for dinner. Go to Eddie's or somewhere like that. It is 20 past nine. Oh, time to get on with things. We'll have a little bit of a bop. It's a Friday morning after all. 51551 on the text. Here's Fatboy Slim.